This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. New users can bet $1 on Conor McGregor to win by a knockout in the first round, and if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using the code FANRUN in all caps. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Restrictions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
To its redeveloped women's floor, signaling a further step towards inclusivity for fat people.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
So they have these big fat mannequins now in the store because they want to celebrate obesity. It's bad for your health. They say they're celebrating diversity and inclusivity of sport, even though we all know that the bigger you are, the less you're going to be good at sports, unless you are in sumo wrestling or football linemen are typically pretty heavy folks, but in general, athletes are, you know, in good shape.
I think beautiful people are made in all shapes and sizes. And
I disagree.
Airing every day from
noon to three.
You know, these people are like, I'm big and I'm beautiful. You're not. And I can say that. Just look at me.
And you're handsome.
In the face, maybe.
But on the inside.
I'm full of clogged arteries and there's no telling. I don't even want to see the inside.
I'm 1340 WKGN.
If you're big, you're not beautiful. You can still be beautiful on the inside. You know, you can do good things and have a good heart. And when I say good heart, I mean, you know, not because it pumps blood well.
Hour two kicking off in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Hour two brought to you by Kraft Axe Throwing. Use the promo code FANRUN for 15% off your booking. Located minutes from downtown Knoxville. CraftAxeThrowing.com, or you can go in, walk in, take your squad, your crew, your lover too, and go to Kraft Axe Throwing, located minutes from downtown Knoxville. Hour two headlines, what do you got for us, Draven?
The big news of the NFL, some sad news for you, John, your favorite quarterback in the AFC South has retired. Phillip Rivers is calling it quits.
I do like Phillip Rivers. I like his personality. I liked him when he was with the Chargers.
You like the trash talking?
Yeah,
and
when he was limping around out there on a torn ACL trying to beat the Patriots.
What was that, 2007?
Championship game?
While
LT was wearing a big jacket, sulking on the sideline, scared to go out there and play.
So, yeah.
Phillip Rivers earned my respect. I liked him. You know, I do think it's time for him to hang it up. Go be a family man.
He's going to go be a coach as well.
Yep. Go back to Alabama.
Yep.
No, he's going back to Greenbow, Alabama. Sit him down there. Get him out of the AFC South. It sucks for him that, you know, he couldn't ever make a Super Bowl. He was probably one of the best quarterbacks of this generation. When you just look at it, like, I don't think he ever really got the respect he deserved. But congrats to a pretty successful career.
Yep.
Is this, like, transition hit you yet? But, like, we're seeing all these old quarterbacks kind of, like, heading out as you got all these new young guys coming in.
That is,
like,
true.
Breeze is right. Like, I'm pretty sure Breeze is done. Stuff like that. I think Brady will come back for another year. But, yeah, the ones that we've been watching for years are heading out the door.
Coming to
it's
an
kind of wild.
It's just not hitting you guys? You guys haven't realized these guys are getting old?
I have, but it's crazy. Once you, like next year, like, Breeze is going to be gone, River's going to be gone. I'm going to be like,
once
wow,
they actually hang
different.
Up the cleats, John, it just, it's different. You know, it kind of hits you.
It's a generation of quarterbacks all gone.
Yeah. Kind of sad. 2004, I mean, that does not feel like that long ago, does it?
Yeah, it does.
It does.
It feels like a really long time.
Well, never mind, I guess.
You were like, what, five? Like, it was a really was long, like, time for you.
I was like six, seven. yeah, but you, like I said, Phillip Rivers, he will become the head coach at St. Michael Catholic High School, like you said, in good old Alabama. I mean, it doesn't sound like that. It's that long ago. Right?
It sounds like a long time ago.
Okay, whatever. I guess you're just with it, aren't you? We're with it.
I mean, just old. Getting older every day.
But I want to propose this question, though. Is Phillip Rivers a first ballot Hall of Famer? Yes, no, maybe. He was fifth all-time in passing yards, fifth all-time in passing touchdowns. He's an eight-time Pro Bowler. And like you said, I mean,
I don't know. First ballot, probably tough to be first ballot if you're Phillip Rivers. You're second ballot at least, though, buddy. You're a Hall of Famer. I mean, that's all I'll say.
Hall of Famer for sure.
To me, you know, like, it doesn't always work like this, but the idea of first ballot means you're just like the elite of the elite. And
right.
He was never the elite of the elite. But he's really good. He's a Hall of Famer.
Speaking of first ballot Hall of Famer, Megatron, Calvin Johnson, said interesting quote. He said it would feel like a slight if he did not become a first ballot Hall of Famer. And, of course, there has been a couple of pretty good receivers out there who had to wait and did not become first ballot. T.O., Marvin Harrison, Michael Irvin, a few other guys. Do you think it would be a slight for Megatron to not become a first ballot Hall of Famer after the career he's had? Especially with all these great receivers who also did not get the same accomplishment.
Yeah. His career wasn't very long, but when he was here, he was awesome. It just depends on how they view it.
That is the debate.
Are they viewing your career as a whole, or are you at your peak? Because he's a first ballot Hall of Famer at his peak, but his overall career, probably not.
I always thought he was going to come back, didn't you? Did you think? Yeah. I kind of thought he'd come out of retirement.
Yeah, Detroit, yeah,
go to the Patriots. Everybody kept saying he's going to retire and then come back, go to the Patriots.
But
they just, Brady.
People kept talking like, "Hey, man, his feet are messed up. Like he's got bad foot issues, and like you know that just doesn't seem very fun when you're big and a wide receiver and running down the field."
Yep.
There's also like when you get out of the game and you're like, "Okay, I got enough money to last, and this is way cooler being out of the game."
Yeah, not having to worry about the grind. I mean, it is a grind, you know. Yeah. We talked about all the injuries and stuff. And speaking of wide receiver dealing with some season-ending injuries, A.J. Brown, your guy, your receiver, had surgeries on both knees. Oof. He said that he should have been out for the season, but after week two, he should have been out for the season, but instead made a Pro Bowl. How about that? How about your boy, A.J. Brown?
He's a dog. And if anybody who watched the Titans this year would notice, like, after A.J. Brown would have a catch or something. Like, he was pretty slow to get up, constantly, like, fidgeting with his knees. And, you know, it seemed at any moment it could be his last catch. Like, it seemed like any moment he could go to the IR. So, for him to gut it out and have a pretty good playoff game, tough.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's fully healthy next year and we see an even better A.J. Brown in year three.
Did you guys see the new head coach that getting some steam on him from yesterday for UT. Anybody see that?
Say that again.
The new kind of head coaching candidate that came up yesterday.
Oh no, who?
Alvin Kamara. Did you guys see his tweet? Somebody photoshopped me and kneeling with a coach headset on. There was pretty good responses. But yeah, Kamara apparently wants to get his name involved in the head coaching search. Would any thoughts on Kamara's becoming the next guy?
If it gets him off the Saints. Let's do it.
But, yeah, pretty funny. He's, you know.
He's no Gerard Mayo.
Right. Oh, yeah, of course. But, yeah, he was kind of poking fun. Man, everybody was poking fun at UT yesterday. Everybody's tweeting about him.
You know how to fix that? Hire Gerard Mayo. No one will make fun of you at that point.
You want some mayo on those burgers?
I love mayo. Mayo me. Just cover me in
no
the white
cheddar
stuff.
In our McDonald's burgers. Just mayo.
Just mayo. That's all we got.
How
about some cool news for Knoxville and just for Neil in general? Topgolf. We know that Topgolf is supposed to be coming to Knoxville pretty soon. I don't know. When is the date on that officially? Has there ever been announced or anything?
I don't know.
But anyways.
Especially with COVID. I don't know. Like,
yeah, you're right. Probably had a little bit of a delay or something. Yeah. But on May 20 to the 23rd of this year, there will be a Topgolf Live Stadium Series tee off at Neyland Stadium. Be able to play some tee golf. Top golf at Neyland. How about that? Pretty interesting.
They let me hit golf balls off Neyland?
It looks like,
that's usually how Top Golf works. Like,
You're at an elevated area.
Yeah,
so.
Usually you're elevated, so the ball go further, you can hit the larger targets. I don't know if they'll build like a big platform, like something.
It kind of looks like it. It looks, just based on the picture, which it's like an animated picture, nothing like, but it does kind of show them, you know, upper deck, right above the end zone somewhere.
I'm going to guess that the average person's not going to be able to afford to play this round. Play this round of Topgolf.
Yeah, I was about to say, no prices have been, doesn't look like announced.
Just break into kneeling yourself with your golf club and a few balls.
It says golfers will enjoy a one-of-kind opportunity to tee up inside a historic Neyland Stadium, hitting golf balls to on-the-field, glowing targets placed between the 60 and 140 yards from the tee box. So it doesn't really say where anything's going to be at, but you're going to have glowing targets, and yeah, sounds pretty cool. You guys ever play Topgolf? Anybody?
Yeah.
John?
I've done it once in Atlanta before a Hawks playoff game, I believe, and once in Las Vegas at my buddy's bachelor party. Those are the only two times. It was fun, though.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Be exciting to come to Knoxville. It'd be a cool experience as well. Anyway, how much do you think tickets would be, though?
There would be a lot of people that would really want to do this.
Yeah, especially in Neyland, right? Kind of that experience with kind of missing out on the real experience with this year with the football team. So, yeah, that would be that'd be cool. Something to look forward to again, May 20 to the 23rd, the date on those. Going back to the NFL real quick, I want to bring up an interesting quote. So John Harbaugh kind of talking to reporters today. Of course, the Ravens season is over. But Harbaugh is totally certain from what he said in the press conference that they will sign Lamar Jackson to a long-term deal. Now, he didn't commit to whether that would be this year or next year. Of course, Jackson still has 2 years on his contract. But I wanted to bring up this as a little bit of debate. I mean, has Lamar Jackson, in your guys' opinion, proven enough to get a long-term contract? I mean, he won the MVP, but yeah,
you've given less quarterbacks the same thing. Like, he has an MVP. He's done more than a lot of these guys with big contracts.
So Cam's in. Signing him.
He's done more for sure. And I still would like to see what he looks like if he actually had a number one receiver. But
yeah, we talking about Dez.
I will say that with Lamar, you know, you do worry about what happens when his athleticism starts going away a little bit. Mm-hmm. But also, like, you know, outside of that, I do wonder if, like, Carson Wentz and Jared Goff are going to mess the money up for some of these guys.
Interesting.
I mean, you know, like, Lamar's better than them, though. But Lamar didn't get to a Super Bowl, win a Super Bowl. You know, like, you know, didn't get to a Super Bowl.
That is true. Losing playoff record so far.
Yeah, but, you know, he got his one win.
That was big. If he lost to the Titans, I don't know if Harbaugh's saying the same thing. Maybe, but
I still think he'll get his big contract, but I would be surprised if he had near the same amount of guaranteed money as, like, you know, Mahomes or Wilson, Rodgers. Like, I would think it would be a although we'll see. I mean, he's got leverage, and like Cam said, there's a lot worse quarterbacks that have gotten more money. So,
and then a pretty cool thing going into the AFC Championship game for the Bills. This is going to be, of course, the first time they've been to an AFC Championship game since 1993. And the Dick's Sporting Goods in Buffalo, they are selling foldable tables in the Bills section. They know the Bills Mafia too well. Only $49.99. So you get a $50 table, and then you go you break it in the parking lot. So, yeah, Bill's Dick's Sporting Good up there in Buffalo. A little bit of a step ahead. How about that? Smart tactic.
Good for Buffalo.
Good business.
Yeah, you got to be happy for him, right?
They the fan base.
I will say, another little headline, Mahomes. Do you see he's kind of clearing the first few steps?
Yeah.
Going to be limited in practice, but kind of all signs looking like he's going to be good to go. Good to go for Sunday, so.
Good.
Very light
I like
practice
when people
today.
Are all, the, we get the best.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, everybody, I think we want to see Mahomes and Josh Allen going at it, so that'll be fun.
Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hey folks, Jamie here at Alban Franklin Motors on Kingston Pike with the easiest new car buying experience out there. It's easy in the Mitsubishi. At Alban Franklin Motors on Kingston Pike with payments as low as $179 a month. Plus, we're giving you $4,000 over KBB for your trade and $8,000 off of an addendum. It's easy in a Mitsubishi. If you're upside down in your vehicle, we can get you out so you have nothing to worry about because it's easy in a Mitsubishi. Not only that, but your new Mitsubishi from Alban Franklin Motors comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty because it's easy in a Mitsubishi. Best payments in the industry as low as $179 a month for a brand new vehicle because it's easy in a Mitsubishi. And at Alban Franklin Motors on Kingston Pike, we're not worried about your credit. We're going to get you approved because we own the bank. And it's easy in a Mitsubishi. Yes, you can afford a new car at Alban Franklin Motors because, say it with me, it's easy in a Mitsubishi. 9711 Kingston Pike, just across from the Chop House. What are you waiting on? We're waiting on you, because it's easy in the Mitsubishi from Alban Franklin Motors.
Hi, this is Dr. Michael Costa at Knoxville Smiles. Here at Knoxville Smiles, we want to see that you and your family are treated to the very best in modern dental care. Dentistry has improved a lot over the past few years, and we want to make sure that all of Knoxville has access to the latest in modern science and technology. You can take a virtual tour of our state-of-the-art West Knoxville facility online at knoxvillesmiles.com or just call us at 865-539-1776.
MyBookie, designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. Pinning all your parlays and props with your feet up, watching your team trounce their rivals. Use promo code Knoxville. Double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play. From live betting championship futures, every play you want to make is waiting in MyBookie. It's simple. Make your picks.
We will be joined by Lucas Panzeca at 1:30 as we check in on the Mid-State. Get his thoughts on the Tennessee coaching and athletic department, AD, athletic director, athletic department, athletic director search. Let's reset here, boys.
Snap and clear.
You changed your hot board at all? Your coaching hot board? Have you changed it? You still at the same?
I guess it's left to Jamie Jabal now. Because the first two have been eliminated, it seems like, with that comment yesterday.
Who were your first two?
Lane Kiffin and Hugh Freeze.
I mean, I feel like Jamie Jabal got more NCAA trouble than Lane Kiffin did.
Yeah. Okay, and then we're back on Lane Kiffin.
Let's or go. Just all three of your guys are gone. Yeah. One of the,
and then I just don't care anymore.
One of the two scenarios. You going to give me your bottom three? What's your threshold for being like, okay, this is stupid. This is making me angry. I don't care. Tennessee football can go to hell until otherwise proven.
Kevin Steele.
Kevin Steele. The guy most likely to get the job.
He's on my list for bottom three.
Okay.
Kevin Steele would be in my bottom three.
Poor Kevin. He's just a VFL.
That's what to say.
He's just a VFL that wants a shot to run the program.
He's been scheming.
To come back
he cooped at Auburn, and now he's here and just happened to become named
he seems smart.
Coach.
He seems smart. He seems to be strategized.
I kind of like it now.
He knows how to run a plan. He just keeps coming up just a little bit short. Although now he might not. Who knows?
Because this isn't a conference game. I got to leave in my bottom three. I don't want him.
Is there anybody for you, Draven, where you're just like, I can't do this. This is stupid. This is going to be a disaster.
Adam Gase.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was getting ready to say.
Like you guys said, I believe we said yesterday with just the press conference, like him doing the stupid eye thing, whatever he was doing, like that right there would just not fly here. Like really, people would be off board from day one if they weren't already, you know, just based on what they know about the guy. So I definitely think Adam Gase be on the bottom. I think he has to give Kevin Steele a little bit of slack here, okay? A little bit of slack. Like John said,
he said bottom three. I mean, what other options are worse?
Well, you know, the Adam Gase thing is good, but also, like, you know, whenever we talked about the proven winner comment, does it open the door for Bill O'Brien?
I think Bill O'Brien, for me, is right down the middle. He's not. I wouldn't love it, but I wouldn't absolutely hate it. That's how I feel about it.
Does it open the door for him, though? Because he's won some division championships in the AFC South, and he, you know, had winning records at Penn State. Now, granted, he took over a Penn State team that actually was like 9-4 the year before. So it's not like he took over a bad program. They had just been mired in controversy. That was it.
Yeah.
But he's got a winning record as a head coach, both in the NFL and in college football. Would he be considered a winning, proven winner?
I think so. I'm sure by their standards, I'd say probably yes. Of course, we don't really know what they consider it. We mentioned that earlier, but, I mean, he has had success in multiple places.
He has won a quote-unquote championship, the AFC South division title. Do you, again, I don't want to go down the screaming match again, but do you think Jordan Mayo is considered a proven winner?
I guess coaching-wise, no.
I mean, I'm just asking, like, is he considered a winner? I mean, he's won a Super Bowl, and he won a whole bunch of games as a football player, and, you know, he's been around a winning organization for a decade plus. I'm just asking, would he be considered a winner?
And that goes back to us not really knowing their criteria for proven winner, because, I don't know if they take...
Well, I mean, they're going to count Kevin Steele's, like, coordinator position as winning, like, because, I mean, that's the only way you can call him a winner. Like, do you get credit for being a champion on the field?
Fair enough.
Because obviously he's not proven as a winning head coach. I understand that.
So Mayo was under the staff when they won a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, he had a Super Bowl ring. He wasn't on the staff, but he was playing.
But he wasn't with them when they beat the Rams in the Super Bowl.
He was 20.
He's been there for 2 years. No, he wasn't playing for the Rams. His Super Bowl was like in 2000.
Oh, so he just took a few years off.
He took 2 years off. And he's ready to come run a business.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, gotcha.
So I don't think he'd be there with the Rams because he's been there for 2 years. So it'd be last year when they lost to the Titans and this year when everyone kind of opted out. But no, his Super Bowl ring comes as a player.
Okay.
Against the Seahawks.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that would be it. Would that be considered him being a winner? Yes or no? Probably not, but we don't know because, again, you can look and say he's been a part of the most successful organization for the last, you know, 12, 14 years. He knows a lot about winning. I mean, he won the East here at Tennessee. But again, you know, as a coach, not a lot of winning, obviously.
Assistant coach from a really good head coach. Where have I heard that before?
Where have you heard it before?
I was thinking Pruitt when he came from Alabama.
Mm. What about Kirby? Georgia seems happy.
Are they?
I'd say Georgia's pretty happy.
I'd say they're content.
I'd say they're the same place they were with Mark Richt.
I don't think that's very accurate.
Just a little bit better recruiting.
I think they've been much better at in terms of they've been much closer at winning a championship.
So they got a little closer.
Mark Richt never got them into the championship game.
Yeah, I mean, they should have won that game, too.
That's not true. They've been in the championship. Are you talking about, like, national championship game?
Yes.
Okay, okay.
Yes, we're not talking about SEC championships. We're talking about national championships. Mark Richt never got them there. So I understand the record and ha-ha-ha, but, like, they seem much more of a legitimate contender than they did under Mark Richt.
Mark Richt making return.
I mean, I saw his name tossed around on Twitter.
Yeah, and like, you know, Mark Richt would get hit with the, you know, the same. I had a guy tweet me. You know, I just keep posting these mayo pictures. And
I saw that.
People get really mad. One guy just, no, with 5 exclamation points.
No.
And then another guy says, Bob Stoops, Chris Peterson, or get this, Les Miles.
Oh, man.
And he hits
me. Kansas go 1-9 this year.
And he hits me with the dirty word. Someone who would stabilize the program. Because, yes, old ass Les Miles is going to stabilize your program. Bob Stoops, who could retire at any moment, is going to stabilize your program. And Chris Peterson, who took a stress induced retirement. Yeah, that's what it looks like when you talk about stabilizing a program.
Keep in mind, Les Miles was down. I believe it was 28-6 halftime to Jamie Chadwell and the old Chanticleers this year.
Kansas didn't win a game, right?
I think they got him one.
I think they won one game. Maybe. Actually, I don't know.
I couldn't tell you.
I just said that because Hayden said 1-9 and he keeps
up
with
stupid
teams.
They did not win a game.
Okay. Okay.
They played one non-conference game and it was Coastal. They got beat.
28-6
They got beat. Everybody else was pretty much a blowout. Les Miles.
I hate that word so much.
What, Les Miles?
Well, no. No, stability. When we talk about winning, I guess Les Miles has won a championship, but
yeah.
God, people wanted him in 2017. Do you think we'd be better off if we'd have hired him than Jerome Pruitt? I guess we probably would be a little bit better off, right?
Maybe. How much
I don't
better?
Know. It's a good question.
Les Miles. I can't believe his name's even in the hat.
I don't think it is.
Okay.
It's just somebody tweeted me that.
Well, I mean, at this point,
I'm just
point,
laughing
though,
at the funny things that I get sent when I just tweet out my Mayo pictures.
So we had a caller call in and throw out the name Philip Rivers for head coach.
I like it.
You bringing him and all his kids along.
You give Philip a couple years at high school. We'll see how he does. I don't know if he would be one of those guys. I doubt he would want to go from like NFL quarterback to high school coach to actually like try to work his way up to be like a legitimate coach. Like, I don't think he would want to do that. Probably supposed to chill in his little town. And
so is he from Alabama?
He's from Alabama. Okay. Yeah. He's from North Alabama.
Maybe he should just settle down and have some kids or something, right?
Yeah.
You know,
start a family.
Yeah. Something new for you, Phil?
I'm sure the NC State job will be open at some point.
Well, if he actually wanted it, if he coached a couple years and liked it, he would rise up the rankings, obviously. But I just don't see why he would submit himself to do that. Simply, all I'm saying. But I hate that stability talk. But again, like, I don't know what being a winner means. Is it just winning record? Is it having a couple good years? Because like, if it's having a couple good years, then yeah, Tom Herman's a winner. But I don't think anybody at Texas would consider Tom Herman a winner.
Yeah.
With Bill O'Brien, too, I could imagine. I don't think he'd be here for the long run. Do you think he'd stay for the long run?
What happened to him as the Alabama offense coordinator?
That's still supposed to happen. And one report said that, you know, I think it was Austin Price at Volquest said that Bill O'Brien is basically like Tennessee. No, he doesn't want the job. So we'll see.
So a few names off the list. We're getting this list a little bit shorter, sounds like.
Yeah, we're
a couple of names crossed out here and there.
We're adding some names, too.
Yeah.
We got Les Miles on there now.
Philip.
My God. All right, let's go to break. We'll come back. We'll talk with Lucas Panzeca. Could get his thoughts on the AD hire and the potential coaching hire. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Your pet is in a...
Getting set to be joined by Lucas Panzeca on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, give them a call. The Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. Visit G3HelpMe.com or call them at 865-558-8030. Serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience, let the G3 team get you the money that you deserve. If they don't get you the money that you deserve, you don't pay them a dime. They only get paid when they win you your money. That's G3HelpMe.com. Let's go to the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Let's get Big Luke, Lucas Panzeca, on the line. Lucas, what's up, my brother?
What a week, man. What's up with you guys?
Yep, you told many people on these airwaves that you didn't think Jerry Pruitt was going to get fired, and I just want you to say that you were wrong.
I was so wrong. I was exposed. If you had told me Jeremy Pruitt would have been uncovered for multiple level one violations, I probably would have changed my tone on that.
This guy.
But hey, you pissed off enough wrong people, they'll find enough reasons to get you fired. I think that's what happened here.
All right, so where do you want to go here? I guess let's start with the AD because that's where the search will begin. Plowman and Randy Boyd both said we got to get an AD first. There's a couple names out there. There is Mitch Barnhart at Kentucky. There is John Gilbert at ECU. And there is Mark Ingram at UAB. Is there any candidate that stands out to you, Big Luke?
Yeah, just outside looking in, I think Mark Ingram is the obvious choice. You know, Mitch Barnhart has done an excellent job at Kentucky. Don't get me wrong. And I think that'd be a big coup if they could get him down to Knoxville. But with Mark Ingram, it almost feels too perfect, right? What are you missing there with him? What he's done with the UAB athletic department is incredible. I mean, everybody gives credit to Bill Clark, and deservedly so, for revitalizing that program and, turning it into a championship program. People forget, too, UAB, when they shut that thing down, Clark had just gotten hired, and he had taken them from 2-10 or something to 6-6, and then they shut the program down. So the foundation was there, but then for him to stick around, revitalize it, turn it into a championship-winning program, and Mark Ingram had a lot to do with that. I can't imagine the strings you have to pull to bring an entire football program back. And then you think about the hire he made with Andy Kennedy with the basketball program, and that's going fairly well right now with UAB. And then you throw in the Tennessee ties. He's a former Tennessee player. He has the experience in the Tennessee athletic department and in the Georgia athletic department. It just feels too perfect to not give him a call. And from people I've talked to that know him at UAB, they say he would take that job. So I don't know, man. That feels like that would be just too perfect and too smart of a move for Tennessee to make.
Yeah, which
is why I don't think it'll happen.
I did see some UAB people talking about how he doesn't really get along with the coaches down there, though. Have you heard anything about that?
I have not. I also get a lot from my guy Dan Harrelson, who obviously I work with at Vols Wire. Dan spent a lot of time in the UAB athletic department. He has nothing but good things to say about Mark Ingram and, again, believes he would take the job. I haven't seen anything like that about coaching relationships, so I can't really speak to that. But just on paper, to me, I don't see a more perfect candidate.
Well, what about coaching? What about coaching? What about the head coach? Are there any names? Like, what's your hot board look like? We've talked about our hot board. We've talked about the three coaches on it, and we've also talked about the names that would really just disgust you. Where are you at, Lucas? Who are your top three candidates for Tennessee?
Well, big picture, and that's where I'm looking, because I don't even know if Tennessee is a hot board right now. I don't know what the grand plan is here when you have to go out and hire an athletic director before you even think about hiring a full-time coach. I don't know if Tennessee already has it in the back of their mind to have Kevin Steele in an interim role for about a year, try to stabilize things, let the stink of the investigation wear off a little bit before making a move. I have no idea, but it's hard for me to imagine that there is a grand schematic plan behind all of this that Tennessee is going to execute to bring this program back. So this is the most unique situation we have ever been in with a coaching search, right? Because I don't even know if a hire is going to be made before the start of the 2021 season when you look at the timetable.
Stop
that we have
stalling,
in front of
you coward. I asked for three names of who you
that
wanted.
Being said,
stop here's stalling, coward.
Luke Fickell, Jamie Chadwell, Tom Herman. That's my three.
Okay.
I mean, Luke Fickell, I think, would be a home run. I just don't view Luke Fickell as a Southern guy. Like, I don't view Luke Fickell as, you know, a guy who can take any job he wants in the Big Ten over the next couple of years. I just don't think he would settle for Tennessee, which is kind of crazy to say that Cincinnati coach would be settling for Tennessee. But it's true. Like, I mean, Luke Fickell is in a position of power. But, yes, you are right. He should be number one on people's hot boards.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Luke Fickell leaves Ohio, but I think that is the guy that you have to absolutely force to tell you no. What he's done at Cincinnati, some coaches have had some good success at Cincinnati. I mean, and I know you don't want to hire another Cincinnati coach with a bad taste from Butch Jones, but Luke Fickell has done a much better job at Cincinnati than either Brian Kelly or Butch Jones did, in my opinion. And if they had won the bowl game over Georgia this offseason, that would be absolutely no question about that. In my mind. So I think that's the number one guy that you force to tell you no. But again, what does this list look like right now compared to what it might look like at the end of the 2021 season? I wonder how much that's in the back of Tennessee's minds right now and how that affects whether or not they go out and try to get the guy here as we're almost in February.
Luke Fickell took over a Cincinnati program that Tuberville kind of left in shambles. First year went 4-8. And then he rolled off 11-2, 11-3, and 9-1. And, you know, probably should have beaten Georgia in that Peach Bowl. I thought it was a pretty bad decision to throw on third down when Georgia had no timeouts left. But either way, they are really good. And I do think he should be the coach you make say no, but I do think he would say no. You said your number two was who, Jamie Chadwell?
Yeah, Jamie Chadwell on there, and again, that's because that's a guy who you feel like he's one of the surefire yeses, right? You feel like one of the only guys on this list that you have almost no doubts that would come and take this job right now in these circumstances. I don't know if I'm as high on him as a lot of people. You know, we talked about this last week. You wondered if the shine of Jamie Chadwell would wear off a little bit if he goes 7-5 next season with Coastal Carolina. I don't know if you want to put all your eggs in the Jamie Chadwell basket after one really good season at Coastal Carolina in a bizarre COVID year. And if he's not from East Tennessee, are we talking about Jamie Chadwell nearly as much?
I think we might be talking about him, but I don't know if people would be excited about him. As excited, you know, if you tell somebody you're just hiring Coastal Carolina's coach. However, he did win National Coach of the Year, so I do think you could easily talk yourself into him maybe having a Bruce Pearl effect. I mean, Bruce Pearl had no ties to Tennessee, and you went and got him from UW-Milwaukee, and, you know, people obviously know what Bruce Pearl did here at Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, he won National Coach of the Year. That sounds great. You can go get the National Coach of the Year. But, I mean, how many times has Nick Saban won National Coach of the Year, right? Like, not that many. Like, maybe twice. I think this year was the first time he ever won the Paul Bryant Award. So that sounds nice. That sounds nice. Just looked at it. He's the two-time Walter Camp Coach of the Year, 2008 and 2018, in that run he's had at Alabama. So, I don't know. But maybe that kind of helps the shine a little bit on Jamie Chadwell. But, you know, I'm more inclined to go get a guy like Tom Herman or go get a guy like Luke Fickler, at least make those guys
say Tom Herman. Sell me on Tom Herman. Do you consider Tom Herman a winner?
I think Tom Herman is a good option for this program in the state that it's in right now. Look,
walk
I'm
me
sorry,
through that.
Man.
Why? Tell me why, because Tom Herman couldn't win at Texas. What makes me think he's going to build up Tennessee? Explain
couldn't
it.
Big at Texas.
Defend your stance, coward.
You're not going to like the way I put this, but I just don't think Tennessee is in a spot to go get a coach that's going to bring championships to Tennessee. I think Tennessee is in a spot where you have to go get a coach to make your program just good again. Just make your program not just so incompetent and disgustingly embarrassing again. To me, that's the bar right now. And that's it. Last cycle around, after Butch Jones, I was completely in the mindset before the embarrassing coaching search that Tennessee needs to, it's time to go find the guy to finally get them back to Atlanta, to get them back to championship. But I think right now that ship is so far for Tennessee that just get a guy that can come in, give him another shot at a Power 5 job, let him win, just let him get to 8-5 and 7-3 in a 10-game type season, what he did at Texas this past year.
At Texas, I mean,
the second best program, or what should be the best program in the conference. Newsflash, Luke. Tennessee ain't the best team in the conference or the second best team in the conference.
Well, then what's your argument there?
I mean, my argument is just that Texas, I mean, has everything you need, and he constantly lost to teams he shouldn't lose to. Like, if he lost to Maryland twice, he, you know, got killed by Iowa State this year. Texas, he didn't recruit the state very well. Like, I just don't know why people think, you know, you can be at Texas and be 32-18, underachieve, and then come to a place like Tennessee where you're going to be battling uphill, and then all of a sudden it's going to click for him and he's going to be good. That's just my argument against Tom Herman.
When you look at his record at Texas, doesn't that seem pretty good right now? I mean, we could talk about losing to teams you shouldn't have lost to. Hugh Freeze lost to Arkansas, coached by Brett Bielema, after beating Nick Saban at Ole Miss.
That's fine. And yeah, if you told me he'd come in here and go 8-5 and 7-3, I think people would take that. But again, that's with a huge talent advantage at Texas against the likes of Kansas State, Kansas, teams like that. Tennessee's a lot closer to Kansas State and Kansas than they are Texas right now.
But the thing is, too, with all this, I don't know that Tom Herman takes this job right now, does he?
That's a whole other thing. I said if I'm Tom Herman, I got one more shot to be a head coach, and I'm not wasting that shot on Tennessee right now. I mean, because
exactly.
if Tom Herman goes somewhere else and loses, like he's going to be done as a head coach. So I would take that $20 million and I would chill. So I don't think Tom Herman's very realistic on either side.
I know the idea of Tennessee having to stick with Kevin Steele for a year in an interim type role, and the idea of stabilizing the program for a season sounds gross. It sounds awful. But if the list of coaching candidates that would take this job and step into the situation is longer in December than it is now, with a better timetable, further removed from the messiness of the investigation, then isn't that something that people need to be considering right now, just as Tennessee fans, on what they want the program to do? I have no idea what the program plan is. No idea. I mean, that's a pretty scary thought, too, right? That first they got to go get the AD, then they got to go get the football coach, and it's almost February. I mean, we talked last week, always assumed Tennessee's going to do the wrong thing. Well, this is pretty much as scary as it gets if you're assuming Tennessee's going to do the wrong thing when they've got these two hires to make in a crucial time for the football program.
No, you're 100% right about that. You're 100% right.
Yep.
That's why you go hire.
What's that again?
Hire Gerard Mayo. That's the drum I'm beating over here.
Okay, I'm seeing this and I love it, but I don't know, man. Channel the energy towards Gerard Mayo to defensive coordinator of the Titans.
That's a downgrade for him.
That doesn't seem like a better fit.
No, that's a downgrade for him to leave Bill Belichick, and you know he's there helping call plays there. You don't leave there to go listen to Mike Vrabel and you know let him be your head coach. You don't do that. No disrespect to Mike Vrabel, but that's a downgrade for Mayo. He's set up well. New England.
Dean Pease is good enough to listen to Mike Vrabel, work for him for two seasons, but Gerard Mayo's not.
Dean Pease ain't in line to be a head coach, Big Luke. Look around, man. Josh McDaniels gets that Eagles job, we're thinking of Gerard Mayo head coach in waiting in New England in a couple years. Just go ahead and jot it down.
I don't know if Gerard Mayo wants to touch this mess. If I'm Gerard Mayo, I'm staying the hell away.
Your boy over on the zone. Ask Ramon Foster. Ramon Foster talked to him. Ramon Foster said he wants the job.
Ramon did say that. I don't know, man. Gerard Mayo, are you not on a fast track to be a head coach in the NFL? Why do you want to come here and wreck your career?
You know, that's fine. If you want to make it that Gerard Mayo is too good for us, I'll listen to that. Most people try to act like we're too good for him. So if you want to spin it the other way, I won't argue because maybe he is too good for us.
If we're going to spin it, let's spin it that way.
Okay. I'll take that. Tell the people what you're working on, Lucas.
Not much, man. Got some podcasts in the works on the Zone Network. Balls Wire, as always, we're putting stuff out. But just kind of strapping in for the ride here because I have a feeling Tennessee's playing checkers and not chess here.
Any Tennessee Two-A-Day podcasts or no?
No, not. That kind of ended at the end of the season at this point, sort of putting all the focus into digital. A lot of digital stuff sort of coming into the works with the Zone. So especially folks in the mid-state to keep an eye out.
Lucas Panzeca, a dear friend. Give him a follow on Twitter. Appreciate you checking in with us. Talk to you next week, brother.
All right, fellas. See ya.
See ya. Send us a bring back. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Tom Herman. Lucas is better than that. Although Luke Fickell, I mean, again, like, I don't know how this coaching search will go. If you're Tennessee, Can you afford to, you know, now that A, you're late in the game, B, you're coming off of a disaster of a coaching search in 2017, like, can you afford to have a normal coaching search where you're linked to all these different candidates and interviewing them and potentially getting turned down? Or do you try to keep this as painful? Wait, scratch that. Painless as possible. Like, do you think we'll just go kind of like Auburn did, where they're interviewing these guys and apparently getting turned down and just having a complete cluster, you know what? Or is it something that's just like, look, here's our AD, and then we'll announce who our head coach is later? And you got some reports of guys maybe, but like, is kept pretty close to the vest.
Yeah, I think it's going to be super tight to the vest after, you know, just the way it went down last time we did a coaching search and getting turned down from guys, just people all over the place, when you end up falling back to Jeremy Pruitt. I think they're keeping everything close close to the vest here because they don't want to end up in a similar situation like that where just, I don't know, because you obviously saw what happens when the fan base gets annoyed with what you're doing in the hiring process. So I think they're trying to avoid anything similar to that at all costs right now.
So that makes me think that they won't go after, you know, they won't go big game hunting then, because, like, you know, if they're not going to just go down the list and actually try to talk to somebody like Luke Fickell.
That seems right. But also, I also don't think they would. I think they could go for some of the big game people and have that get out, but they turn it down, because I don't think that's as detrimental. Like, if you're like, okay, see, look, we shot for this guy. Sorry it didn't work out, but, okay, we're falling back to whoever. As opposed to, like, Auburn, like you mentioned, like, they were just getting turned down by anybody. Like, that sure looks bad. But I think if you shoot for the biggest guy and you miss, okay, at least you tried. At least you can be like, hey, sorry, fan base, we went for it. We just couldn't get it done.
You're late in the game for that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, realistically, I think you should maybe know your weight class you're in.
You would think, but
you don't want to get turned down by a lot of people again and make that even more embarrassing. I don't know.
I'm not sure if we know our weight class. So I'm not sure even the fans know our weight class right now. A lot of the fans, I see some people, it's like, we're not as shiny a job as we used to be.
I think, and again, like a brilliant, brilliant, beautiful bald-headed man said on WBR last night, you are one hire away.
It's that simple.
You're one hire away.
Yeah.
One hire away.
Mm-hmm. There's just too many things holding them back from making the big hire, though. I mean, you mentioned last year's search, not even that. Just think about the fact that we still have Kevin. I hate to keep bringing up Kevin Steele, but that almost, to me, it's just a safety thing. It's like, okay, which you would think it'd be like, hey, let's go big. Let's go for the big names. We've got Kevin Steele to rely on, but I think it's not going to be like that. And then you have, obviously, talking about integrity, leading the search. It just kind of makes me think we're going to shoot for a couple guys that, like one or two guys that are top of the list based on just a good resume, good integrity, whatever. And then we're just going to say, oh, well, we got Kevin Steele, so we're good.
That would be nice to know you have Kevin Steele in the pocket and just go out and try to hire everyone else in that.
Right.
If you have to come back, if you have to come back in March, like, hey, Kevin, what's wrong with you? I mean, that's essentially what Texas did. Yeah. Hey, we're going to talk to Urban. Ah, no, okay, we're staying with Tom Herman. No, wait, actually, we got Sarkisian. See ya.
Well, Tom Herman's just waiting. Like, I'm sure he knows what's going on. Kevin still knows what's going on.
Like, hey, Kevin, here's the deal. All right, listen up, bud. We are going to go out and try to land somebody better than you, but just know that if we don't get somebody that we feel like is better than you, we are going to keep you. You cool with that? All right, cool. Because, I mean, what's Kevin still going to say? No?
What else has he got going on?
Yeah, he has too much pride. Kevin still in the facility whenever coaches are coming in to interview, like Will Ferrell and Step Brothers, and they're trying to sell the house. And the next door, the Nazi uniforms. And
welcome to the sea.
Yeah. Love you at Knoxville. We take you to the best spot in town. You end up over at the Emerald Club.
I could name a few places.
I mean, that would be ideal to do that and know that you have at least a plan in place if that doesn't happen. And like I said, it's not like Kevin Steele can be choosy right now.
Because that was the whole goal with Kevin Steele, right? Bringing him in, have a guy that is at least there for now, and let's go get a better coach. That's kind of the whole point of this, right?
You would think so.
Yeah.
Now, you talk about Tennessee not knowing their weight class. I mean, I do think there's still a reality where Tennessee can whip it out a little bit and just say, look, here's some money. Here's $8 million,
mm-hmm.
Luke Fickell. Here's $10 million, Bob Stoops. And something I think is important that, you know, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it because we're not forward-thinking. But look, we have the option right now to be the first SEC school to look down the road and say, look, we got an extra, what, $17 million coming in from the ESPN deal?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to spend that and invest it into a coach. We know the extra money is coming.
We just saved on a big buyout.
Yes, this $10 million salary is going to look crazy right now when you're hiring somebody who hasn't earned a $10 million salary. Mm-hmm. However, we're going to make this money back on our next TV deal regardless. And, oh, by the way, if Tennessee is good, you're going to make hundreds of millions of dollars. Again, I don't think it got aired last night, but one of the points I made was it's a $100 million decision. Look at how much money Alabama has made from hiring the right coach. Look at how much money Clemson has made from hiring the right coach. If Tennessee hires the right coach, you can make $100 million for the city, for the university, mm-hmm. for everyone around, all these local businesses. Like the local economy will have a $100 million boom over the next 10 to 15 years if you hire the right coach. Bringing the Smokies downtown, that's cool. I guarantee you if Tennessee starts winning national championships or competing for national championships, the city of Knoxville will get an equal, if not better, return on investment. And again, we have the chance to be the first.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and mark my words. Mark this tape. Jot it down. Remember who told you first. 2025, pretty much every coach in the SEC is going to be making at least $7 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with that income or the money coming in like that.
The salaries are just going to keep going up. You will have Nick Saban making $15 million. You will have other coaches making $10 to $12 million. It's going to happen. There is too much money in these new TV deals for it not to be the case. You will have coaches making $8 million that should be, that are now making three or four. It's just going to happen. It's the same way back in the day, making over $1 million was a big deal. Making $1.6 million was huge.
Yep.
You know, I was going back through some old tweets like Tennessee tried to keep Konzo after a Sweet 16 run and like, hey, we offered him $1.8 million. Now, like, everybody makes $1.8 million. That's just the way it goes.
Yep.
So mark my words, by 2025, everyone's going to be making $8 million or seven. There'll be some exceptions, sure, but like those will be the guys that are making $4 million now. They'll be making like six something.
Yep. Checks out.
Tennessee has the chance to go ahead and realize this, be ahead of the curve and say, here's $10 million, coach. We got a check coming in a couple years. It'll be fine. And like Cam said, we didn't have to pay this buyout. We're good.
And when's the last time we got ahead of the game?
Exactly. we were ahead of the game in the 90s whenever we were looking at, having some of the best facilities on, in the SEC. Like we had more money than people. Then the money caught up. The SEC network said everyone's got the same amount of money. Right now, that money is about to go crazy, stupid, dumb. And Tennessee is in position to be the first SEC school to take advantage of that. To say, we got an extra $17 million. Let's reinvest that. Again, it's going to look crazy if we pay a coach $8 or $9 million, but it'll be the normal in 3 or 4 years, and we can go ahead and hopefully hire a coach that still thinks that's really great money, because don't get me wrong, $8 or $9 million is really great money. You spend that, you get the train rolling.
Absolutely.
But, when's the last time Tennessee has been forward-thinking? But mark my words, these salaries are going to go crazy. And $7 or $8 million is going to be the new norm. Nick Saban's going to be making $13, $14, $15 million. And Tennessee has a chance to kind of do that right now and get great value in return.
Yep.
Hour 2 in the books, hour 3 on deck. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.